Oh my God. Hello.
Hello. Oh my gosh. What a pleasant greeting after how you usually greet me.
Yeah, I know. Hey, friends. Welcome to the show, Frankie and Friends. Where today I am joined by a very good friend of mine. One of the best, Jake Sines.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me on the show.
I'm glad you're here. I mean, I talk to you not very often.
I know. It's been a long time since I've spoken to you. Hasn't it been like a day?
Like a total of 48 hours. No, yeah, no, it's been like a couple hours actually. So Jake and I, if you're dumb and you've deaf and you're blind and you've been living under a rock, Jake and I do Fear the Talking Queers together.
Yes, it is our weekly horror podcast. So this is,
yes,
this is exciting that I get to be on a podcast that's not that.
I know. Isn't this weird? Even when I started doing this, I was like, I wanted to be like, hey, bitch. And then I'm like, wait, no. And then,
yeah, that's what I'm I was
like,
saying.
Wow, it's a totally different tone, too. It's like not even the same. And like when you listen to the episodes and they have that like lo-fi beat in the background, I'm like, this is like something you put on to go to sleep. And
yeah.
Fear the Talking Queer is something you put on to wake up in
yes.
the morning.
Ooh, yes. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yours has like a very sort of like low-key, vibey beat to it. Like just your show in general.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, it's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, I initially wasn't even going to put background music, but then I was like listening to Fear the Talking Queers and your editing is always spectacular.
My God.
And I was like, I have to put something. This is going to be so lackluster if people listen to both.
Oh my gosh, I know. Yeah, you have to like continue the brand that is you, you know?
Right, right. No, totally.
Yeah, like you don't want to disappoint all your adoring fans.
Right, exactly.
And so, you do have fans. Like we do have fans over at Fear the Talking Queers, but people are fans of you, I will say.
Yeah, people are definitely fans of us together, us individually. So we definitely have our personal brands to upkeep as well.
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
which sort of ties into the movie we're doing this week. No, I'm just kidding.
Can
you imagine
God.
If I blindsided you with like a whole movie?
Oh my God. Actually, I think that would be kind of fun. I would rise to the challenge. For
really?
Sure.
Oh my God. Like today we're talking about...
Unless it was something I hadn't seen.
Right. Amityville Horror 3D.
I'm like, great. I love that movie.
Oh my gosh.
Let me tell you about it.
Okay. Do you want to read the next part of the synopsis? Oh my God. This is so funny. This is so weird. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're on my programming. So I'm so excited to have you here because usually I follow your lead a lot and Fear the Talking Queers. I know you feel that.
What? No. What are you talking about?
Today we are talking about the pressures of the standards of beauty in the gay community. This is a convoluted, that's what the title of this episode is going to be called.
I love it. No, yeah. I mean, it definitely exists. There is a standard of beauty, unfortunately. I don't know anything about it because I'm stunningly gorgeous, but
right, no,
I've
totally.
Heard. I've heard.
I've heard that there's pressure for other people now.
Yeah, other people.
So mostly, I wanted to focus on some of the articles that I've read about body pressures of the image of body and face, of course. And then also, of course, the youth-obsessed culture within the gay community.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of this pressure, I feel it a lot. Like, as I'm getting older and, you know, gaining weight or something, I look in the mirror and I'm like, okay, these wrinkles gotta go. I'm like, fuck, I constantly have to shave,
sure.
You know? And then I'm like, oh my God, my eyebrows. Like, and you, as you get older, you don't have time to do those things. And then so I'm like, looking in the mirror and I'm like, looking at older pictures of myself and I'm like, wow, I am falling off. But then I'm like, it's not that. It's just the pressures to look good and stay looking good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, we're getting older. Like, that's just like a natural thing that happens. And but it is something that happens, and especially in, it's like not only the gay community, but it's also just living this age of social media where, yes, you know, everybody's filtered, everybody's edited, and you know, you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself just sort of naturally progressing through life, and you're like, oh wow, I'm not keeping up, and which isn't right. Fair and isn't necessarily true, because you're looking at the completely unfiltered version of yourself, mm-hmm. and you start judging and you start nitpicking and things that people probably would never ever care about or notice, or you know, but it's just the pressure that we create in ourselves, and that's what I feel like it is.
Yeah,
it's like the pressure to look good is something that we create personally.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely the root of it is the societal pressures to look good, but then like allowing sure. that to affect us definitely is our yeah. own thing, because then yeah, you do sit in the mirror and you're like, wow, my upper lip could be a lot fuller, which for me, that's my thing.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, this could be a little slimmer in my nose, and you know, I'm like, my body could be more shaped like this.
Oh, of course. Right. And it's like, why like I do it, I'm absolutely guilty of doing all these things as well. Yeah. But it's like, it just sucks when you like step back and you're like, why do I care so much? Like what? And, but I mean, there are reasons, like you said, there's a lot of societal pressure.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of streamline this into thinking about it from the gay perspective, and not just, well, yeah, specifically mm-hmm. gay as gay men, because that's, you know, what we are. Well, you're a sure. woman now.
Yes, yes. I'm a fierce woman.
Yeah, yeah, no. You're a scream queen.
Yeah. I know, my I had to represent a little Fear of the Talking Queers today.
No, so I love
it. I have a scream queen shirt on today. But yeah, you can call me a cream queen, that's fine.
You look great, sweetie. okay, so to start off with, there was a GQ article by Rob Ladon, and one of the things that he brings up is that, this article is called Six-Pack Abs Shouldn't Be an Integral Component of Gay Culture Anymore. That is the name of this article.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm down for that.
And it's sort of about how, like, the six-pack is basically, like, the holy grail of fitness, and how specific to gay culture on Grindr, you'll see, like, no face shots, no head shots. Sometimes,
oh, no.
If
absolutely.
Someone's stunningly gorgeous and they feel it, but a lot of it is headless torsos, like oiled muscles or slim hairless bodies. For somebody right. who feels like their body is what they have to offer in sort of this hookup world of gay dating apps.
Yeah.
I find that to be true. Like, even when I was on Grindr back in the 90s, it feels like
back in the Stone Age.
Yeah, back when it first started,
Jurassic era.
It was very much that, and that was.
Oh yeah.
I didn't find it damaging then because I sort of fit the mold of that. Like, you know, I had the gray mm-hmm. eyebrows, the big teeth, big white teeth, the flawless beard, and the skinny, tiny, hairy body. But I fit the mold, and now I'm like, not anymore, bitch. If I had to do that now, I'd be losing my mind.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know it is like really crazy, like you said, like the value of like a six pack and just your body being the only thing that you have to offer. That is so sad.
That's
but
sad.
But some people, I guess that's all they feel like they can offer the world, and if that's what they feel, if like posting that makes them feel good, then it's like, you know, who am I to say,
yeah.
you know, that that's bad. But you know, like you said, like there was a time when we probably fit that mold more, and now I know I don't, and like you said, you feel like you don't anymore. But you know, we have other things to offer as well, and you know, I mean I don't go on Grindr anymore, obviously, like, and it's
we're both
just
in committed relationships where we're not looking for anything
right,
else
exactly but that shit is it's I can imagine just how hard it is to navigate now, especially because there's so much so much editing and filtering and all these things that go on. Like, how to compete with that? Like, how do you even do that now? I know, you can't.
And that's before a lot of the heavy, like when we were on it, it was before a lot of the heavy use of Facetune filters. Like now, I'm sure there's plenty of filters going around on Grindr where, you know, you maybe if you hook up with this person in real life, you won't even look like your profile. That'd be scary.
Yeah, seriously. And don't even get me started on catfishing. I mean, my God, I'm sure.
Mama, catfishing, my God.
Yeah. You just pull a picture from Google and put it on there.
Yeah, seriously. Or somebody else's Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Instagram.
Oh, I know.
But this article also brings up that for both men and women, face has become a secondary body part, which is a scary thought. Because I'm very much a face person. Like, if somebody has a stunning face, I'm like, I don't even look at the rest of it. And not even stunning face, but just like beautiful eyes or just, you know, one good quality in their face. I'm like, I love that.
Totally. Yeah. Like, I am definitely a person who looks at somebody's face and their smile. Like, smile is like a big one for me. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's what makes a person attractive. I honestly, like, this is 100% honesty. I'm not trying to sound like I'm better than anybody, but like, I don't look at somebody's body first and be like, oh, I was like, I'm not into that. Like, if you have a little extra, if you have a little less, like, it doesn't matter to me.
Oh yeah, like, no,
I don't. But so like the body thing isn't like something I necessarily look at, but it is something I'm aware of as like people looking at me, you know, and like, even though I don't care about it, I like the things that get me are when I think about other people looking at me. I'm like, oh my God, my body doesn't fit that mold, you know. But and so that's kind of strange because you would think it'd be something that I'm like looking for, but I'm more concerned about people looking at mine than I am looking at theirs.
Yes, which is what, going back to what you said earlier, where it's like, it's only in our own head. Like, our image issues are only for us, not for anybody else.
Totally.
But I do get concerned because if I do notice, I'm like, okay, if I see somebody walking down the street and I'm like, that shirt doesn't fit them as well as it could have. That's the thing. Those are the things that I'm thinking of when I'm like, is somebody going to say that about me when I'm walking down the street? Probably.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's possible. And you have to sort of just eliminate it from your mind. Like, you can't worry about what anybody's saying anymore. Like, I'm trying my best lately to really embrace my body. Like, you know, not because, you know, I have, you know, I don't have a flat stomach. I don't have like a six pack. And, but you know what? I'm trying to build my confidence. Like, last night, bitch, this is all honesty. We went out to get some Thai food, and we stopped at a grocery store to pick up some stuff. And I was wearing this little, I was wearing a crop top sweatshirt. And I was like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. Like, who cares?
Right.
Like, what does it matter that I don't have like a perfect stomach or, you know, something like that? Like, who cares? Like, what are they going to say? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's almost like I have to challenge myself in order to like break my own judgment of myself.
Yeah.
You know, like if I go do this, then what does it matter? If I can accomplish this, if I can go out in public like this, then who cares? You know, what can anybody say to me? I'm already feeling myself, my fantasy at that moment.
Right. Right. And so no one can't tell me shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I felt good. I felt cool. Like, you know, just because you don't have a certain body doesn't mean you can't wear what you want to wear or not. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's just shit we create ourselves.
That's true. That's true.
And other people create when they look at us, but like, that's none of my business.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. What you think about me is none of my business.
Exactly.
Also in this article, they interviewed Ian Holloway, who is a he's an associate professor of social welfare. Sorry. Let me say that over.
Werewolf.
He's a werewolf at the fair.
A werewolf.
No, Ian Holloway is an associate professor of social welfare at UCLA. He has a private practice in West Hollywood, so you already know where this is going.
Oh my God, I've been there.
Right? Right. You're his, your therapist. Specializes in LGBTQ plus health and well-being. And in his private practice, he says that he sees a lot of gays in his office. And at the top of the list of things that they struggle with, it's usually body image, no matter how they look or what their body type is. They could be muscular, or they could be super skinny, or they can be bigger. And their main struggle is their body image.
Right, because I feel like there's just always this, like, there could, it could always be better mentality, or like, I'm never going to be good enough. You're always going to see somebody who has a better body or a better face or better teeth, better eyes, better eyebrows, better hair. Like, you're always going to find somebody.
Something.
And, right. And unfortunately, there's this superficial quality to, like, I don't know, gay hookup culture and stuff like that, because it's so quick and, like, again, so superficial. It's like people only want, like, their fantasy just for a little bit. And if you don't fit that fantasy, then you all of a sudden think that you're worth less.
Yeah.
And so I can absolutely see how that's a thing. Like, even if you do have a great body, even if you are sitting here with a stunning six pack and great pecs and arms, like, there's always going to be somebody next to you who has even better ones.
Yeah, I would say living in the age of social media, like, I'll see people who maybe in the looks department can be comparable to myself, and I'm like, but I really love the way his beard grows in, or I like the way he grooms this. I like that he has a fuller head of hair, thicker hair than mine, you know? And then I'm like, well, he looks better. And then, like, I'll be like, well, maybe I can do my eyebrows like this, and it'll get a little bit more of that shape. And then I'm like, that's so stupid. That is so stupid. Like, why am I sitting there starting to nitpick at my own face?
Well, okay, so I have a question for you. So when you do things like that, are you doing it for other people's validation, or are you doing it because it makes you feel good?
I would say that I would do it because I don't know. I guess for myself, because I'm like, okay, I don't. Sometimes, like, when my eyebrows grow out a little bit more, I'm like, I don't like the shape of them. So let me try to fix this or fix that. But then I'm like, it feels stupid to me, because I'm like, they already look great. Or, you know, or like, they look good. They look good, but I don't know what it is. It's just like, maybe if I try this shape, it'll be a little bit different because it looks good on that person. So maybe it must look good on me.
Right. Okay.
You know, that's making that makes sense. Does it?
Because I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for me, like, you know, when I'm like, because I like filling my eyebrows every day and things like that. Like, I have to do it because it makes me feel better about me. I don't know if it's, I can't really tell if it's because I want the validation of other people, but I also just, I probably do. Like, let's be honest. Like, I probably do want validation from other people. Mm-hmm. But all I know is that when I do things like that, like alter myself or like make sure my hair looks great all the time, or if I do my eyebrows, like, it's because it at least makes me feel good about it. I haven't really decided if it's because I want validation from other people or if it's solely because it makes me feel good. But all I know is that it does make me feel good, and that's why I do it.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point, because I know that, because I also fill in my eyebrows when, like, if I'm going to go somewhere, I'll put my contacts in and I will fill in my eyebrows. And a lot of that reason why I fill in my eyebrows, because I have pretty thick eyebrows, like, they're fuller, especially when you're looking at me, like, right here, like, you can see that I have full eyebrows. But this is nitpicky shit, like, in photographs, if there's like a flash, it doesn't look like I have full eyebrows because it flashes right to the skin underneath. So I fill them in so that if somebody takes a picture of me when I'm out, and, you know, at a party or something, and we're gonna take pictures, I know that I'll fill in my eyebrows because it just is gonna photograph better. Like, is that,
I,
like,
mean, yeah, that's fair.
Is that fair?
That's okay. Fair, but then that makes you feel good about it. If it you does. Were to look back at that picture, it makes you feel good about it.
I'm like, I look great, or I feel good about it. Yeah.
Right, and I think the thing is like determining whether or not it is, if you are doing it because it makes you feel good about it, or because you're like concerned that other people are gonna think you look bad in that picture.
Yeah, I think it's me, because I think that this is probably like a deeper rooted issue, but I am really hard on myself when it comes to looks.
Same.
Yeah. So
same. Absolutely.
I'm like, and it's for my own validation. It's really not for anybody else. It's really for my own. Like, I want to look good in this picture. I want to look good on my Instagram. I want to look good. And it's really for my own.
Yeah.
Acceptance.
Totally. And I feel, and this could be completely wrong to everybody else in the world, but this is just how my train of thought is that I don't feel like there are people that are just naturally really good looking, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they just are genetically blessed in a lot of ways. Yeah. I've never felt like I'm technically really genetically blessed, like fully, like, of course, like it could be much worse. Like I don't think I'm unattractive, but I've always felt like in a way I have to work just slightly harder to make myself like conventionally attractive, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I don't know why I feel like that. I just, and it may not be true. Like, I'm sure if Joey heard this, he would literally murder me or something like that. But it's like, it's just how I've always felt. I was like, okay, like, there are people who don't have to work as hard. They wake up, they look great, their beard looks awesome, they have perfect this, they have perfect that. I always feel like I've had to work to curate how I look in order to make me feel like I'm, like, on par with people.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my struggle.
Uh-huh. I know what you mean, because I remember in middle school is when I started doing my eyebrows, because they started, like, connecting in the middle. I was like, absolutely not. Like, and they had no shape. There was no arch, no anything. So yeah, it's like this idea of curated beauty to almost make, and so our faces, you know, we've tried to enhance the beauty and I feel good about it. I feel better about it. It wasn't really for anybody else.
And if it makes me feel good, and that's what my point is, I guess, and just like what you said, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Like, it makes, you know, if I have to spend a little extra time on my hair, I have to fill up my eyebrows, I have to, you know, I don't know, line up my beard or something. Like, it just, it's something I need to do to make me feel like myself and feel like my best self.
Your best self. Yeah, cool, because when you look good, you feel good. I think that's, you know, it has a big thing to do with it, probably for us. So on Dazed Digital, there is an article called Unpacking the History of Gay Male Beauty Standards by Jake Hall. Hey, girl.
Girl.
In this article, he explains that image ideals of body positivity have expanded, but little has shifted, and it has an effect on our mental and physical health. And I think this is true. This was true for me, definitely, for a while. I remember seeing a picture of myself when I was probably like 16, and I was wearing this pink shirt and this striped cardigan, and I was holding up a camera, so I wasn't aware, and somebody else was taking a picture of me, you know, so it was like I was taking a picture of them and they were taking a picture of me. So anyway, I looked at it and I was like, why do I look fat? And I wasn't at all, like, I was not fat, but in this picture I thought I looked fat. And I remember thinking, like, oh, it's probably because, like, I had, like, insomnia when I was a teenager, and I would be up, like, at 3 a.m. and I would go and I would eat at night, you know, and it just wasn't good for me physically to be eating that way. But I started to notice I was packing on a few pounds. And so I remember when I hit, like, I came out of the closet, I got into my first relationship, and I remember I was getting very, both he, the guy that I was with, and I were very hard on ourselves as far as like our weight.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for each other, it was just individually we were struggling with that when we found each other. I sort of just stopped eating, but I would eat at like dinner time, like I would binge eat. And I was working a lot, so like it didn't bother me that I wasn't eating breakfast or lunch. And I would wait until I was absolutely hungry, and then when like my stomach was like, okay, bitch, you are hungry, I would eat like a tiny bag of chips, and then I would restrict myself. I'd be like, okay, that is it. That is all I'm eating today. And I lost a shit ton of weight. And I think you remember how skinny I was.
Yeah, you were super thin when I first met you.
And to compare it, like, I don't think I'm fat now. Like, when I look at myself, I'm like, okay, I'm chubby. But when I look at myself, I'm like, okay, I had to, like, shift my perception of myself, because I'm like, okay, right now, like, my jeans, my Levi size is, like, a 38. But when back then, when I was super skinny, it was, like, a 28. I'm like, that is absurd. And I was the same height as I was when I was 18. So I'm like, that is crazy to think on back on it now, how small I was.
Yeah, I we were both pretty thin back then. Damn. I look at pictures of me from back then too, and I think that my thing was just my metabolism was like at an all-time high or something, because growing up I really wasn't taught healthy eating habits. But like in my household, neither of my parents really emphasized like eating well or eating vegetable. I don't know, like neither of them were like that. And I just happened to, and so like that's where I sort of developed my eating habits. And then, you know, at that time, I think my metabolism was really high. And so I was still eating whatever I wanted and I was just looking super thin. But then I was also performing a lot. I was dancing a lot. And so I was really active and I was just really thin. There's like one picture during that time that I look so, so skinny that it's like, whoa, who even is that person looking at myself now, obviously. And then I think, you know, going, you know, as time goes on and I was getting older and older, I think my metabolism really slowed down.
Yeah.
It has slowed down a lot. And I've never really dealt with those bad eating habits. And I think that that has sort of caught up to me now. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I now look at myself and I don't consider myself fat or chubby. I'm just sort of solid. I'm kind of short. I'm like 5'7" and a half. And I'm sort of like what I guess the term would be like thick now. Like, you know, I'm like
T-H-I-C-C.
Solid. Yes, thick, you know. And that's just sort of my body type in general. Like my dad is very thick in that way too. Uh-huh. And I think that that's my issue, is that I just don't have a foundation of eating well, and I've never dealt with my bad habits and my bad relationship with unhealthy food.
Yeah.
Like it's just something that, you know, it's just hard habits to break, and it's something that obviously I need to work on in myself, because I could be healthier.
Yeah.
It's not about like, you know, and that should be my main goal, is to be healthier. And it shouldn't be about, you know, wanting to be hotter or having the best body. Like, it shouldn't be about that. But I know that for myself, that's my struggle, is that I need to deal with my unhealthy relationship with bad food, specifically sugar.
Yeah.
And carbs.
Yeah. Yeah. Because even during the time that I was hella skinny, I wouldn't eat through the day. But then at night, when I was off of work, like at 10 o'clock at night, I would go and I would get Taco Bell or McDonald's or something like that. And that would be the only thing I ate all day. And the next day I would wake up and I'd be like a little bloated, but bloated for, I mean, at that point I was just, I remember even taking a picture of myself, because, you know, like I had a boyfriend, you know, so I took a picture of myself and I sent it to him, and his literal response back to me was, "You look too skinny." And I was like,
ew,
I know,
how dare he.
Well, also I remember taking
was reserved for myself and myself only.
I know, but then I was able to like kind of shift the way I looked at the picture, and I was like, wait, what? And I'm like, wow, I was like, my eyes looked a little like further back, you know, and like I was like, my rib cage was very prominent. And then I was like, wow, I think I might be too skinny. And then like I remember taking a shower and I was like washing my hair, and I remember like going like this, and there was like hair in my hand. I was like, Oh my God. I think I was like, I'm still eating. So I don't know why this would be happening. And then I remember going down the stairs one time. I don't think I ever told anybody about this like struggle that I was having, but I remember going downstairs one time and I was like, whoa. And I got to the bottom and I was like, I remember my eyes like rolling back and I was like, and I grabbed the rail and I was like, oh my God, I think I almost fainted. And I'm like, and then that's when I was like, I need to eat lunch. I need to eat at least lunch. I definitely need to be eating food throughout the day and not just one meal at night and only snacking if I absolutely have to. I was like mostly drinking liquids to like sodas and things like that to kind of like fill me. And I'm like, I would think I was malnourished.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, I'm glad that you sort of came to that realization, because that could have, who knows what that could have spiraled into.
Right. If I had kept that up, oh my God, I would look a lot worse than I feel like I do sometimes. Oh my God. So a lot of this obsession these days with social media and stuff is about having that six pack and having that banging body. Everyone thinks they're like some sort of motivational fitness guru on social media. And a lot of this obsession, especially within our culture, comes from the 50s and 60s when there was a censorship on gay porn. So gay men turned to bodybuilding magazines. So now these muscular bodies were associated with sexual attractiveness and this sort of fetishized hypermasculine body types. And I mean, yes, I can totally see that being damaging, because you think about straight porn, straight guys, when they fetishize young looking women, because in the things like barely legal, like turning 18. And it's like, when you start associating that with your sexuality, that is damaging.
Yeah. And that is like a really hard standard to keep up to for your average everyday person.
Right.
You know, I guess I don't live this way, but it's like, I can imagine that becoming an obsession if you place your self-worth on sex, like especially like a lot of gay men do. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, then it could be really damaging, the obsession with trying to achieve that bodybuilder look.
Yeah.
Like, which is crazy.
Yeah. And that was also found in a lot of like illustrations at the time, homoerotic art.
Tom of Finland.
Yeah. Like, Tom of Finland. Definitely. That's like a big one. The cops with like the big, massive.
Yeah.
Big, massive ding dongs and the big, overly done bodies. And we'll talk about it later, but that's how it is with face today too. But in 2007, there was a survey in the UK, and it's a really popular survey. And it was found that 42% of all men with eating disorders were gay, and LGBTQ+ people of all genders were more likely to have eating disorders, binge eat, and abuse laxatives.
Ooh, yeah. I mean that. Yeah, I. Don't doubt that
at all. I mean, I just talked about my whole story and it was sort of binge eating, but not in the way where I would gain weight, but it was binge eating only for 1 hour a day so that I could be skinny for the other 23 hours of the day.
Yeah, shit. Oh my God, but that is so sad. That is where our community is, and that's where people put so much importance. Like, I mean, you know, of course we need to be healthy. We should be healthy. Like, we should promote that. But I mean, it's so sad that that's the state of our community. Mm-hmm. And that's what people put the most pressure on, is having these unachievable body goals. And like, some people do achieve them. So it's hard to say unachievable, but I mean, it's so hard.
The restrictions you have to put on yourself to obtain and maintain that body type is... Yeah. It's not realistic.
And is that really living?
Is it? Yeah, no, I don't think so. I want to have as much fun as possible. I'm here on this earth.
and there's something I kind of want. You kind of brought it up earlier. Mm-hmm. This idea of like body positivity.
Yeah.
And I feel like there, like in 2021, like I feel like there has been a lot, like a movement on body positivity. like sort of embracing whatever body you're in. But I have felt, and let me know if you feel the same way, but a lot of it has been directed towards women. And which makes total sense. I mean, women have been, you know, their bodies have been just, you know, the male gaze that have been on women's bodies for years and years and years have obviously caused a lot of damage within, you know, the women community, whatever that means. They're the, you know, women. And like the pressures that they have. I mean, it's not only their body, it's their body hair, it's their, you know,
face,
the hoops that women have had to go through.
Right.
Yeah. And I think there's been like not a lot of progress, but there's been definitely progress as far as body positivity towards women. We have these like beautiful plus size models that are like women like Lizzo, who are out there like just unabashedly sharing their bodies and normalizing what it means to be like a curvaceous woman in this world. I don't feel like the same movement has happened towards men. Like, I can't think of like a male model. Can you think of a plus size male model?
No, but there is a model who is really fierce, and he was in. I know that people know him by name, but he was in the Fenty Rihanna runway.
I mean, the fact that you're like, I don't
but
even know.
Yeah, his
like, name
I don't even know. Somebody like, told me his name one time, and he's like, he's in this, he's in that, he's fierce. But it's like that one person out of the entire. No, you're right.
Right.
Yeah. There's this idea of dad bod.
There's like nobody I can like.
Dad bod.
Oh, yeah. So, dad bod has been like the closest thing we've got.
Yeah.
Which is like that term. It's like, is that a positive note? I guess.
Right.
Like, I guess that's a positive term, like that I want to embrace dad bod.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just wish that there are more men out there who were being, who have a platform, who naturalize, nor normalize thicker bodies too, or like normal bodies that people were celebrating. I feel like it's more common for women to be seen as like curvaceous or voluptuous. Like these are words that we associate with women.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there are terms like that to describe men other than thick or like dad bod.
No, totally. Yeah. There's no glamour.
I would love for there to be more positivity in that way. And like men to just like full out, like I said, like wear a crop top without a six pack or something like that. Like we need more of that in this world. And again, not to promote being unhealthy, it's not about that, but it's just not glamorizing only one type of body to where we all start thinking that is the only acceptable body.
Yeah, and that's what we're striving for. It's really interesting that you even brought that up, because in this article, there's a quote that says, "We live in a misogynistic world which stigmatizes and regulates femininity. And this reality is stamped all over gay beauty standards and also female beauty standards." If anyone knows what the hell we're talking about, it's definitely females
women.
And women. Yeah, because this is just something that has been ingrained in them since the time they were born. Like looking good, and you know, with things like feminist movements and body positivity, we've been able to sort of open the minds of the public and be like, hey, not everyone looks like this. And but you're right, it hasn't truly been the same movement
hasn't
for men.
I feel like it just hasn't been extended completely towards men yet. I could be completely wrong, and there's, you know, who knows.
And I feel like as a gay people, I mean, I don't know what it has to do with anything. I don't know if it's because this reality is stamped all over gay beauty standards, because there's sort of this idea that gay men are feminine. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, because a lot of straight guys, they don't put, I mean, some of them strive to look great with the hot bodies and all that, but other ones seem like they just really don't care, and they don't even fall or fold under that kind of pressure. And like, good for you. Sure. but I don't feel I want to be beautiful. Like, what is wrong with me?
But I think the point of all this is that you are beautiful no matter what they say. Yeah. Words can't bring you down.
Right. I know. So in 20. Go ahead. What were we going to say? We're going to add to
that. Oh, I was saying, and it's just about like our bodies. Like, I've seen a lot of this lately. It's like this, like, our bodies have kept us alive and safe through this, like, pandemic that has happened. Like, it's, like, now more important than ever to realize that your body is beautiful, that your body is working, your body is functioning, and that it is perfect, you know?
Yeah.
It is keeping you alive. Like, of course, there's always room to be healthier and improve, but, like, we need to embrace our bodies and realize that our bodies aren't wrong, that they are right. It's just, you know, there can always be some you make it look how what makes you feel good,
right?
You know,
but it has to be something attainable and realistic for each individual person. Definitely.
Of course
health is important.
Sorry, keep going.
It doesn't have to go. Yeah, okay. So in 2016 there was a hashtag that started trending called Gay Media So White, and it revealed a lot of what our community was seeing on LGBTQ+ dating apps as racism, femme shaming, and body shaming. And this is the sort of transition as out of the body part of this conversation. I remember even RuPaul's Drag Race, Kim Chi on season 8 had this song at the end of the season finale that was called Fat, Femme, and Asian, because a lot of people were putting on Grindr, no fats, no femmes, no Asians. And I'm like, what the hell is this about?
That's a thing. You know who got called out for that too was Raven, because an old, I think, like Grindr or like Jacked profile of her came out, and it said something like bring on the vanilla and spice, hold the chocolate and rice.
Whoa.
Like, girl, are you, I mean, and like there's this like,
so basically saying war. White and Latino and no blacks or Asians.
Black people no black people or Asian people.
What an ugly bitch.
but there's this like war within I guess the gay community where it's like, well, those are my preferences. That's just what I prefer. And it's like, and it's like, how do we fix this to where we are not fix this, that's not the right word, but how do we start to retrain ourselves to realize that by saying these things, you are literally excluding people, like, so before even getting to know them, by just saying, oh, well, you're black, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You're Asian, I'm never going to be attracted to
you're
you.
You're not my type.
It doesn't matter. You're not my type. You're not, you know, I don't care about your mind, your personality, your anything.
And then have the audacity to say, I'm not racist.
Girl. Yeah, it's my preference.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God.
Preference is prejudice.
Yeah, literally.
When it comes to human beings.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I know. How do you retrain, how do you reprogram someone's mind to...
Yeah, to be like, to be like, to realize to, like, that is not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how do I... Yeah, to get to know people... before just excluding them
because of, like, the way they way. Look just from, or
because of their skin color
or because of, bitch, like, that's
or their heritage.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's a thing. You look on any comment section where this is brought up, like, I have a horrible habit of
browsing
of going down
sections.
A comment
rabbit hole
and you just see the ugliest side of people. It's insane.
The things that people say in the comment sections of any social media platform is,
oh my god,
gobsmacking
toxic.
It's toxic.
The toxic waste dump of the internet,
of humanity.
Literally. And yet, so here bad. I am just scrolling. Ugh.
Yeah. So there's the body shaming, there's the racism, and then there's also, like, femme shaming, which is which I definitely remember feeling being on those apps because I'm feminine. And I remember going on just a little bit, but you know, I remember going on Grindr and they'd be like, no femme, no femme, no femme, no femme, no femme. I'm like, what do you want? Are you straight? Or like, or do you do you feel like you present straight in person and you're like hiding this gay thing? Like, you don't want, what is it?
What does that even mean? What does that even mean? I'm femme, I'm mask. Like, who get, like, I'm a little bit of everything. Like,
yeah, you have your masculine side, you have your feminine side. You just embrace yourself as, you know.
Yeah, Jesus, the qualities I'm just authentically myself. Right. Yeah, like people are like, well, I'm more like, I'm mask. What does that mean? Does that mean you're like, what does that mean? Right. What does that mean to be mask, or what does it mean to be completely femme?
Because like, society has told us that being masculine is a strength and being feminine is a weakness.
Right, and that is garbage. That is not true. Like,
that's absolutely not true.
There can be strength in both. Like, why does it have to be? Why is being masculine this like pillar that we hold up so high? Like this pedestal. We're like, oh, they're masked, they're straight, and you know, they're straight acting. Like they've somehow achieved something that me as like a more feminine, I guess, acting gay person has to like worship at their feet for. Like, that is crazy.
Right.
Like, that's not fair.
And it's like, always
I have
been
also,
this...
I have great qualities too as like a more femme acting person, or like, I don't know. It's,
yeah,
it's just so crazy. These societal things we've created,
The structures,
like these aren't real. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is depressing to say the least when you really dive into it. And then we get to this part of, beauty standards, youth obsessed culture, what that means for us as gay people in the gay community, because there was this very interesting article that I read, and it was called On Being a 20-something Gay Man in a Youth Obsessed Culture by Jacob Gears. And this is, he wrote this.
Why do they all have my name?
Right, Jacob Pierce, Jake Hall, all of them, Jake Sines. This is why I wanted you on this episode. this was written for an online thing called The Thought Catalog. And Jacob relates his self-esteem improvement to the superficial compliments of the headless torsos on Grindr, who have equated his youth to attractiveness and sort of given him this, because he had just come out like later in life and he realized that he would be labeled like a twink or something like that. And so he makes mention that the older he gets, he feels like his twink card will soon be revoked, and he expresses the fear of growing out of the bleach blonde gay kid in jean shorts and having to reinvent himself as an older gay. And the thought of this on this lurking depression.
Is this literally speaking my life?
I was like, Jacob Hall or Jake Sines?
Literally, Jacob, oh my God, Gears. Bleach blonde and tiny shorts. Yeah, I'm like 30 now, and I'm like, oh God, I'm a dad now. I'm in the dad category. Daddy. What do you think about that? Like, do you feel like you are chasing youth? Like, you're trying to keep up?
Totally. I mean,
like, you're trying to turn back the clock?
Not turn back the clock, but I think I want to look good for my age. And I think that I want to be 30, 40, 50, and people to look at me and be like, wow, but you hardly have any wrinkles.
Oh my gosh. What have you done to sort of to combat this? Like, to combat time.
Well, I got the hyaluronic fillers in my lips, in my upper lip especially, because I needed it the most.
Oh yeah.
And in this one crease in my forehead. So thanks, sis, for pumping me up, because and it got rid of it a little bit, you know, it's temporary solutions. And also, like, there's the thinning of the hair. So I've had to kind of, like, reprogram myself to, like, do my hair a certain way and actually wake up earlier to blow dry my hair so that it looks fuller and thicker. And I have to keep my beard short now because it just doesn't grow in as thick. I have to fill in my eyebrows because that doesn't grow in as thick. And I have to put on creams, potions, and elixirs to maintain the smooth skin. So...
Yes, I mean, the things you gotta do. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
But it's not to stay looking young, because I know that there are some youth-obsessed gay people, and I'm sure that we've seen them, where they're just a little bit older than us, maybe like in their 40s and 50s, and they still continue to frost their hair or bleach their roots or plump up their lips, or, you know, the gun under the knife to obtain this, to maintain this thought that they look young. And to us as outsiders, we're like, they don't. And I'm like, I don't want to be that, but I do want to look naturally good for my age.
Well, yeah, it's hard to sort of figure out what you want to do. Like, do I want to keep on having procedures to, like, you know, stay looking young? But at what point are people going to start looking at me and start thinking, well, why don't you just age gracefully? Because now you look crazy. And it's like, and it's like, what do I do? Like, how do you win in this situation?
Yeah.
Like,
there is no winning.
You know,
it's about,
yeah, there's no winning.
It's kind of what you said before, where it's like reprogramming ourselves to think differently. Because I was reading a lot of articles that written by gay men for gay men about ageism. And if you read through these articles, a lot of them are like almost like memoirs of sorts, of their
memoirs,
their own essays about their own struggles. And when you read it, you kind of see the authors being really hard on themselves. Like, I'm like, I don't think like this. And I'm in that weird age, like, we're both in that weird age range where you're going from your 20s to your 30s. And it's this weird, is this sort of like weird transition, but I don't think of it like this.
It is.
A lot of them were comparing milestones to tombstones, and comparing being middle aged, like saying that younger gays would compare middle aged people to practically being dead. Like, literally, those were their words. And I'm like, what?
Right.
What are you talking about?
But then you have to think about, like, why do you care what younger gays think? Mm-hmm. Like, why does that matter? It's like, why do people who are younger than you carry more weight in how you feel about yourself as an older gay man?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think, like, that has to be part of the issue. It's like, why do we care what young gays think? Why? Because we're afraid they're not going to sleep with us? Like... Like, who can,
maybe,
you know, that has maybe to, that has to be it.
Because one of the things that always upsets me about gay, being part of the gay community, is the how much emphasis there is on sex and how over sexualized even people from the outside, like talking about us as if we were these sexual deviants. And sometimes I feel like there aren't many things that gay propaganda comes out with, like in magazines and things, that shoot that down. I think we're making a lot of progression now, as to show, like, this is an entire community of people that are beyond sex. Like, this is not about sex, it's about other things. But I think that there is a lot of emphasis on this about sex and being the hot one and being this and that. One of these articles was about this man who was in his was 42 and was still regularly hooking up with people and feeling like that was maintaining their youth. I'm like, wow.
Right.
That's sad.
But yeah, I know. But you know what's really funny though about that is that on the flip side, there's also now this, I don't know if this is a fad or what, but it's like now, like, young guys are now chasing older men now.
Oh yeah, daddies. It's like,
they're like daddy chasers and things like that. Like, so it kind of goes both ways. And I guess, again, it's all things that we've created. Mm-hmm. And I've known many older men that pull young guys like crazy.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like a confidence thing.
Yeah.
You know, just because you're getting older doesn't mean, like, I'm never going to hook up with somebody I find attractive ever again because I'm attracted to younger guys or something like that. Yeah. No, it's just about it's about the confidence of it all. Because if you have the game to go out there and put yourself out there for young guys to come out and get and come look your way, like, it's probably going to happen.
I think it could be, like, more, when it comes to that, maybe more about the looks, because maybe they don't want to be fetishized as the daddy. They want to be a young person hooking up with a young person. They don't want to hook up with a young person. The young person's like, I've always been attracted to older men, you know? Like,
oh, maybe my God,
those would be, like, the people that would have the issues with it.
Right, exactly. Then that's just coming to terms with your
age
and your... you know, and that's a whole nother struggle.
So then there's this other part of it that you mentioned for body positivity, like where a lot of body positivity that's out there is geared toward women. And a lot of these anti-aging cosmetics and potions are geared toward women. And I'm like, why? Because I use them.
Absolutely. Like, why?
And this is a media thing. Like, it's like the media is constantly telling women, this is how you have to look. And so you have to
look young.
Yeah, you have to look
young. But also age gracefully.
Yeah, and it's for women. Like, women have to be this and that, and men can be big fat slobs. And it's like, my God, the way that the media regulates, like, okay, you have to use the retinol prescription cream to make yourself look younger, because otherwise your husband will probably leave you for a younger woman or something like that, which has happened on the regular.
You know what I just realized, like, I don't think I've ever seen is like a male spokesperson for like Oil of Olay or like L'Oreal Cosmetics or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like products that are meant to moisturize or keep us hydrate, looking young. I don't think I've ever seen like a male celebrity endorsing.
We're just now starting to see, like, with the big beauty trends on YouTube, we're just now starting to see men in a makeup or like even like almost like BB creams, like pigmented moisturizer, so that men can even out their skin tone. So now with social media, there is this sort of start of things that are coming out, and only on social media ads, where there's like, oh, this is geared for men's skin and da da da. Because I remember there used to be memes where it's like women, and like it shows everything that they use to get ready for the day, and it's like what men used to get ready for the day. It's like a bar of soap, and it's like that is not true.
That's not true for everybody. But yeah, like, yeah, I see like House Labs, like Lady Gaga's makeup line, like they use male models all the time, full face of makeup, you know. I'm glad that that's starting to be normalized, like men can wear makeup, men can, you know, men sometimes feel like they need to even out their skin tone, like you said, or something like that. Like, it's okay for men to be able to do that, or fill in their eyebrows, or
wear a full, you know, face of beauty. Yeah.
Right, exactly, whatever you want. And I think that's kind of like my new like a style trend that I'm very happy about, is that men are now being allowed to express themselves in maybe what's considered more feminine ways.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm literally sitting here with like a full manicured set of nails.
Right.
I mean, not set. I mean, they're just, you know, like gel nails, but like even you look and see now, like, I'm not saying that like Harry Styles or Bad Bunny or people like this are like the first to do what they are doing, but they are really normalizing this, like breaking the gender norms of fashion and clothes and painting your nails or wearing some makeup or things like that. And
I love Bad Bunny.
And I'm not saying
style.
And I'm not saying they're the first to ever do it, or that they are, you know, anything other than just cis hetero men wearing these things, but it's like they have a platform to where people will look at them and could maybe change their minds about how men can express themselves,
and maybe open the minds of those little boys who are cis and hetero and be like, it's okay to embrace your feminine side. There's nothing feminine.
It's okay.
Femininity is not a weakness. And I think that's ultimately a lot of what this comes down to is like, femininity is not a weakness. You can be any size, you can look any way, you can be any age, and you can still be beautiful. No matter if you're a man or a woman, non-binary, trans, anybody can be beautiful. Race, regardless of any of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just about feeling confident in yourself. And it's about knowing that what you have to offer is ultimately beautiful no matter what. Like, and the most important thing is feeling that yourself, and it doesn't matter what other people say or think about you, because that's none of your goddamn business.
Right. Exactly. Well, that was a good way to end this. Oh, you know, one of the things I didn't mention that still like boggles my mind is that in nature, with the way, you know, animals mate, like birds and things like that, that it's always the men that have to like be beautiful, and they're the ones that are engineered these bright like colors. Yeah, and they have to do these dances and show off their colors for the for the female part of their species, and that the women are always like brown and like bland, and they're like,
oh my god,
they're all boring.
Yeah, we need to start being more like peacocks. I think that's the moral of the story.
Oh my gosh, so this has been crazy. I don't know, people probably disagree with us, agree with us on this episode.
Sure,
they probably just are like, oh, here's a bunch of men talking about struggles of having to look good. But honestly, it's a struggle for everybody. I don't care who you are, you've probably struggled with body image somewhere down the line.
Absolutely. I do, you do, everybody probably does. But, you know, and we have plenty of work to do in society and making people feel comfortable. And feel beautiful. And, you know, so we have a long way to go. But
in every aspect of this society, we have a long way to go.
And oh my gosh, absolutely. But we can only do our best and just realize that we are beautiful. No matter what they say.
Oh my god, that's funny that you said that. Because the whole time that you've been saying no matter what people say, is I've been thinking of Little Kim, which is like, no matter what people say, we've got it going on. But she went for the Christina first. A little bit prettier in vocals. That's so funny. Well, okay, thank you for joining me on this and giving your opinion on our beauty standards.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such a breath of fresh air to just come here and have a fun conversation with you about this.
Just a conversation. Yeah, just a conversation with our own opinions. Will it be a popular opinion? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining me, and goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing, you can always follow me on Instagram. My handle is at FrankieAndFriends91, because I was born in 1991. And if you want to become a supporter of this podcast, you can go to anchor.fm/FrankieAndFriends/support. And there you can sign up to support me doing this podcast by signing up for a monthly donation, anywhere from 99 cents to $9.99. So if you feel like you'd love to support me, that is one way you can do it. Aside from that, keep on listening. Thanks.